Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Without further ado, if you have your Bible with you, stand to your feet and turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to read out of chapter 18. And this is a word that the Lord dropped on my heart last week. And I've been, letting it marinate in my spirit, I guess would be a good word for that, over the past few weeks and over the past week. And we're going to look at this today, Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. And hopefully maybe we can follow along if you don't have your Bible with us. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version of the Bible. And starting in verse 1. And it says in Jeremiah chapter 18 verse 1, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, 'Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words.' Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, 'O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand,'" listen to this, "'so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull it down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good which I said I would benefit it. Now therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, everyone from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good." Let's pray. Father, we come before you today and we thank you for your word. Thank you that it speaks to our hearts. Let it cut to the quick today, God. If there be anybody here that needs the conviction of the Holy Spirit, wrap them in that conviction, knowing that there's the grace to turn and to change, God. If there anybody here today that is wallowing in the depths of despair and they feel hopeless, God, let them be filled with your hope today to know that it's not the end. It is only the beginning of a new season and a new day. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and understanding to just touch and fill my body, that I would be able to speak not with my words, but that you would give me revelation from heaven. Let he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches today, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. As I look at this story in this passage that we've read in Jeremiah chapter 18, at first glance, when you read it, especially there towards the tail end of it, it seems, and it may seem to be discouraging from the Lord. That he's saying, I have this against you, you need to turn away, you need to return back, because I am preparing a disaster against you. And it seems like it's a discouraging word from the Lord for his people through the prophet Jeremiah. But when one reads this passage and this scripture with spiritual understanding, and with proper perspective of the nature of God, you'll realize that it's the exact opposite of that. This is not a discouraging word. This is an encouraging word. This is not a hopeless word. This is a word that is supposed to inspire hope and joy and excitement in the heart of the believer, because as we look at it and we read it and we realize what God is actually saying, and we don't look at it from the perspective of a wrong way of looking at it, but from the right way of looking at it, we see that what he's saying is meant to bring hope and meant to reconcile us to God, not push us away from God. And it is the mercy of God on display when you read this passage. It is God extending grace and performing his loving kindness towards his chosen people when he gives them this word through Jeremiah. And I want to just ask today, is there anybody here today that is unashamed to say that you're thankful that God's a merciful God? Come on, show me your hands. If you're thankful that God is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. I don't know about you, but I have gotten it wrong as many times, if not more times than I've gotten it right in my life. And I don't think I'm alone in saying that. I've messed up so many times, but let me tell you, it is the grace and the mercy of God that he hasn't given up on me yet, that he hasn't pushed me to the side, that he hasn't forgotten about me, that he hasn't said, you've messed it up, Spencer, too many times. You have done wrong time and time again. But he is so graceful and merciful and compassionate that if I confess my sins, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm so thankful that he always brings forgiveness and restoration. And today, I want to talk to you about the God of begin again. He's the God of begin again. He doesn't, when you mess up, he doesn't throw you out to the side. He doesn't say, you're yesterday's news, you're trash, you're garbage, you missed it, you messed up, you didn't perform right, you didn't do everything perfectly, so therefore I'm done with you. I'm so glad that God doesn't treat us like we deserve to be treated. Because if he treated us the way that we deserve to be treated, we would have been done a long time ago. He would have already put me in hell where I deserve to be. He would have already thrown us to the side, but he doesn't treat us according to how we deserve to be treated. And that is mercy in a nutshell. Because grace is God giving you what you don't deserve, but mercy is God holding back what you actually do deserve. Because every single one of us deserve right now not to be seated on padded chairs listening to a sermon about grace. All of us deserve to be done because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But because of his grace, we have been justified. And I'm so glad that he doesn't treat us how we deserve. You see, we don't deserve anything that we have in this life that is good. I don't deserve to be standing here before you today. None of us deserve to be where we are because none of us are worthy. In fact, if the documentary of your life were to be played on that screen right there, if we were to have from the time that you were born up until right now, if we were to have the movie of your life starring you and you only, just a camera followed you around the whole time, and if I were to say, Shelly, go ahead and play so-and-so's story right here, you would not crawl under your seat. You would stand up and run out of those back doors as fast as you could, change your name, and move to Timbuktu. There wouldn't be no, oh, that's embarrassing. I don't know if I'm going to come back to that church. You wouldn't even want anybody to know who you were. You would just, you'd get facial reconstruction because we have all done so many things that we should be so ashamed of. And really, we should be ashamed of the way that we have acted. But we should be ashamed of who we were. But the great thing is when we come into the kingdom of God and we put our lives under the blood that we talked about earlier and we're saved and we're redeemed, we're not who we used to be. And we don't have to have that screenplay in our movie of who we used to be because he has removed our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. And he said, I'll let you begin again. Because I'm that good and I'm that merciful and I love you that much that I'm not going to make you live how you deserve to live. Because we all have messed up royally and we have done so many things that we should be ashamed of, so many things that we would love to hide. But that's the beauty of it, is that even though we have done so many things wrong, he still continues to allow us to be made right by the blood of Jesus, by the confession of sin. When we fail, when we transgress, when we mess it all up, when we get off course and we go our own way, he says, begin again. Yeah. Every single time, just like that prodigal son, that he'd run away from home. He'd squandered the wealth that his father had bestowed upon him. And he'd spend it on prodigal living, prostitutes. He'd spend it on just wasteful things. But when he came to his senses in that pigsty, and he said, you know what? My father's servants have it even better than I've got it right now. And he said, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to confess to my father, and I'm going to tell him, I don't even deserve to be your son. Just make me a servant. When he came home, that father who represents our Father God ran from the front porch and threw himself on the son, kissed him on the neck, gave him a robe, gave him a ring, put sandals on his feet. You know why? Because he is always the God of begin again. Even when you get off course, even when you're not perfect and you're not living the way that you should, when you decide it's time for me to come back home, he says, you know what? I'm going to let you begin again. I'm not going to throw you out. I'm not going to forget you. And listen, I'm not advocating sloppy agape. I'm not saying that this just gives us a license to sin and do whatever we want to do because God has to forgive us. That's called presumptuous sin. And David prayed, keep me, O Lord, from presumptuous sins. What I'm talking about is that I believe in holiness. I believe in sanctification. I believe in living right and being pure because Paul said, should we continue to sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How can we who died to sin live any longer in it? So that's the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe in that. But I also believe that if you go back a few verses, it doesn't take away from the truth of the fact that where sin abounds, does grace abound much more. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. So that's what I want to talk to you about today, is that it doesn't mean that we forget about the magnitude of his grace. I'm still thankful that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And I'm grateful that 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And I believe that God wants to make some hearts new today. I believe that God wants to replace some stony hearts with some hearts of flesh, as he said in Jeremiah that he would do for the people. And I believe that he wants you to hear him say today, begin again. You can start fresh. You can start new. In fact, if you go to Isaiah chapter 43, he says, remember not the things of old. Don't remember yesterday because I'm doing a new thing. I believe that God wants to do a new thing today. And I know y'all are just saving all your amens for tonight. That's okay. We'll get there. Don't worry. But I believe that today God wants to renew some things in people's lives. I believe that he wants to do a new work inside of you and replace some things that have become wrong maybe you wandered in here today and you feel far from God. I believe that you're going to hear him say today, I want you to begin again. So let's look at this text and let's talk about this for a few moments. God called Jeremiah to journey down to the potter's house because there was something there that he wanted him to see and something there that he wanted him to hear. And I believe that today there's things that God wants you to see and things that he wants you to hear. And he's calling to you this morning. And when Jeremiah got there, he came into the potter's house and he found the potter hard at work and he was spinning something at the wheel. And he had the intent of making a beautiful vessel. But while he was turning it in his hands, the Bible says that the vessel that he was working on, it became marred in the hands of the potter. And I want to focus on those two words just for a moment, the word vessel and the word marred, because we all are called, according to Scripture, as earthen vessels. You are a vessel. Because that word vessel means instrument or tool. You're an instrument and a tool in the hand of the Lord. He wants to use your life to do things and to pour into other people and to be useful to the kingdom because that's what he created us for. And so he wants to make you an instrument. And an instrument means a tool for a particular kind of work or a way of getting something done. Do you realize that you are God's way of getting some things done? He made you. He created you. He fashioned you. But there are times in our life that even though we were created to be an instrument for good, we end up being an instrument for evil. Even though we were created to be a vessel that is holy and pure and set apart and useful for the master's use, there are times when we can become marred even in the hands of the potter. And I want to tell you what that word marred means, because I believe that we all struggle with this and we feel this way sometimes, is that we become marred, because the word marred means useless, spoiled, devastated, ruined, wrecked, damaged, hurt, upset, and flawed. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I have felt all of those things before in my life. I've felt hurt. I've felt useless. I've been devastated. I felt ruined, damaged, flawed. I've been upset. And there have been seasons and times when I've been devastated by circumstances, and I've allowed it to shatter my faith and confidence and get me off course. And I've been hurt so bad that I didn't know what to do about it. You ever been there before? Come on, you got hurt so bad that you're like, I don't know how I'm ever going to get over this. I don't know how I'm ever going to get through it. What they said to me was so painful. The way they treated me, maybe it wasn't what they said to you. Maybe it was the fact that they didn't say anything to you. They didn't say, I'm sorry. They didn't come back and apologize. Maybe somebody was you know, speaking evil into you. And listen, there's two ways that you can become marred. You can become marred by your wrongdoings, or you can be marred by someone else's wrongdoings to you. And no matter how you got marred, the good news is God knows what to do with marred vessels. He knows what to do when you get upset. He knows what to do when you get hurt. He knows what to do when you feel pain. He knows what to do when you feel useless. I don't know about you, but there's been times, and I believe that we all struggle with it, just feeling useless. I feel like what I do doesn't matter. I feel like I try to be, you know, who God called me to be. I try to be the husband He wants me to be, the father He wants me to be, the employee He wants me to be, but I just feel like I'm spinning my wheels. Anybody ever felt that way before? Let me tell you, sometimes we get stuck in seasons of feeling like we've become marred, like we've become useless, like we've been hurt. And I know I'm not the only one, because we've all made bad decisions that have affected the condition of our life. Listen, you need to realize and understand that the decisions that you make directly affect the life that you live. And when we make poor decisions, we become marred in the hands of the potter. When people make bad decisions against us, it can mar us. It can hurt us. It can make us upset. It can bring trauma and pain into our life. But I came today as a hope dealer to let you know that when the clay became marred in the hands of the potter, the chapter didn't end there. It didn't say, and the clay became marred in his hands, period. It didn't say the clay became marred in the hands of the potter, so he threw it in the trash can. The clay became marred in the hands of the potter, so he took it out back and threw it into another pile with the rest of the marred jars and the marred mugs and the marred dishes and everything that he had. It says, so he made it again. Why? Because God is the God of begin again. And I don't know if this is just for me today. I don't know why I would feel resistance on people when God's saying to you that He wants to give you the opportunity to begin again, unless there's just so much hurt and there's so many marred hearts that you would think that I don't know if I can ever get there. He's not talking to me. Listen, I'm talking to you today. I'm telling you, if you have been marred by your decisions, by how somebody else treated you, the potter today says, I'm going to begin again with you. I'm going to make it all over. I'm going to make it fresh. He didn't label it as useless. He didn't give up on it. And I'm so thankful that He is the potter and I am the clay. I'm thankful that He didn't give up on me when I wanted to give up on myself. I'm thankful that He doesn't give up on you when other people want to give up on you, when other people think you won't make it, you won't amount to anything. All the whole time, God didn't say, no, it's useless. Even when it became marred, He did not throw it away, but He made it again. You know what that means? That means He started over. It means He crafted the instrument and the vessel into the creation that He originally intended for it to be. But let me tell you something. When it says, so He made it again, that word, the phrase made it again is one word in the Hebrew. And you know what? One of the definitions means circumcise or to take off. So when the clay became marred, which we've all been marred by sin, sin of someone else, sin that we've committed of ourselves. Sometimes when He puts us back on the wheel, there's going to have to be a circumcision of our heart that's going to have to take place. It means a taking off. So if you want God to fashion you into a useful vessel, you're going to have to submit to some changes that He wants to make. If you want to begin again, you're going to have to be willing to be put back on the wheel and fashioned and molded and allow Him to set you in order. In fact, Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. He said, but who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Listen what he says. He quotes the prophet Isaiah. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use. And I feel like there are people here today that you're mad at God because of the way you look, because of the home you were brought up in, because of the way that life happened, because of the circumstances, and you're saying to God, why did you make me like this? Why did you make me to feel this way? Why did you make me to look this way? Why did you make me to have all this stuff going on in my life that I'm not really sure what's going on? But Paul said, who are you as a human being to talk back to God? You should not be complaining to God for the way that you look, for what's happening in your life, because does he not have the right as God and his creator to make you how he wanted you to be? Does he not have the right out of the same lump of clay to make some for special purposes and some for common? And I believe that some people, you have lost hope because you're like, well, I'm just common. Well, what's wrong with being common if that's what God created you to be? Because you can be useful in common places where other people would not be useful. In fact, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians that the parts of the body of Christ that seem like they are less effective are actually more needful. And so some people that they think, well, I'm just unimportant, I'm not special. Do you realize that God still wants to use you, and he has purpose and he has a plan? And even though you feel marred, and even though you've gotten off course and you've made bad decisions that have led you down the wrong path, he is saying today, I will make you again. I want to circumcise some things. I want to put you back on the wheel, on the potter's wheel, and I want to shape you and mold you so that you can be a vessel and an instrument of righteousness and useful in the kingdom of God. And so I believe today that we've just got to allow him to put us back on the wheel. But talking about this is there are some things he's going to have to change in our life. That if you want to be useful, you're going to have to be willing to submit to changes. Because think about it this way. What good would it do for me as a parent if I saw my child playing in the road to go very quickly as a car's coming and pick him up? And as soon as the car passed, I just put him back in the road and let him continue to play in the road. Nobody would see me as a fit parent. Nobody would think, well, that was wise. That was great. All you would focus on is the fact that I left them in the street, not the fact that I saved them from the car. But so often what we want God to do is we want him to pick us up from our mess, but we don't want him to get us out of the mess. We just want him to save us from the consequences of our sin and not really rescue us from the fact that we've been living in sin and realizing that that is what is bringing destruction and bringing hardship and ruling our life. And so as a parent, if I love my child and I see them playing in the street, yes, I'll run and I'll rescue them, but I'll also take them back up to the house and I'll set them down and I'll say, Bethel, you shouldn't be playing in the road. Not because I don't want you to have fun, but because in the road there's danger that you can't see and that you're not able to get away from. And so I will teach him and I will train him and I will bring some changes in his life so that he doesn't get back into the road and get run over and harmed by a car. And it's the same way with God. When we get marred, yes, he'll pick us up, but he doesn't just put us back in our sin. He doesn't just put us back in our problems. He doesn't just put us back in the same lifestyle and way of living. He says, listen, son, listen, daughter, I love you enough to save you, but I love you too much to leave you the way that you are. I'm going to have to change some things. I'm going to have to cut some things back. I'm going to have to bring about, a difference in the way that you live and what you do. And in the same way as me as a parent, I would rescue my child from the street, but I would also teach them. God corrects us and molds us and fashions us into who he created us to be. And who are we to tell him who we should or who we shouldn't be? It's only by his grace that we haven't been discarded. Listen, it's only by his mercy that he has chosen to make us useful again. When it says he made it again, it means circumcision, it means taking back, but it also means a full circle return back to how he originally wanted you to be. Because when sin entered the world, before that had happened, before Adam and Eve took that fruit from the tree and they partook of it, everything was perfect. They had relationship with the Father. They walked with him in the cool of the day. Listen, they were so clean, so pure, so holy. They walked around naked and nobody knew they were naked. But then when sin entered the world, there was a separation between God and man. And he's saying, what that separation that was brought, I want to bring you full circle back to who you were originally created to be in fellowship with me and being close to me. And he says, O Israel, is what God said to Jeremiah, can I not do with you as this potter can do with this clay? Can I not do with you as this potter has done? Now, if you think about this, God obviously knows that he can, but it's still posed as a question. This is interesting, and you have to get why does he say it this way? Because God doesn't do anything by accident or anything by mistake. He knows that he can because he can do anything. But the reason that I believe that this is posed as a question is because unlike the clay, we are not an object. We're living and we're breathing. We are functioning with a free will to choose between, will I allow him to put me back on that wheel and spin me around and take some things off and shape me and bend this and mold this into who he wants me to be? Or will I say, no, I'd rather stay marred. No, I'd rather stay hurt. No, I'd rather stay useless. No, I'd rather stay in my pain. No, I'd rather stay in the past. No, I'd rather stay spoiled and damaged and devastated. And so many people are given the opportunity because God is not a respecter of persons. Anybody that calls out to him, the Bible says, he will be saved. All who call upon the Lord with a pure heart. And so he says, can I not do to you? And I believe that he's asking, not that he needs your permission, but he's asking, can I do this with you as the potter did with the clay? Will you let me? Will you let me shape you? Will you let me mold you? Will you let me put you back on the wheel and turn you into who I want you to be and not just who you think that you're supposed to be? And I ask you today, will you allow the potter to put you back on the wheel? Will you allow him to change the things in your life? Do you need a fresh start? Do you need a new beginning? But I want to show you what the Lord says to those who respond or don't respond to his gracious ways. In verse 7 through 9, he says, the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent from the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build it and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. So here's what he's saying. Can I put you on the wheel? And here's your choices. You can turn from your evil way, and you have a choice to either walk in who I've called you to be or not. But I want to look at these words because he says, in an instant. In an instant. That word instant means suddenly. It means in a moment's time. In fact, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it means in the twinkling of an eye or suddenly. He says, I will either relent from destruction or I'll relent from blessing you in an instant, in a moment's time. He can do more for you in a second than you can do in a lifetime of striving and trying to do it in your own strength. But he says to build. Okay, that word build means to repair. It means to set up. It means to obtain children. Or he says to plant. That word plant means fastened, firm, and steadfast. And I want you to know this. He is a gracious God, but he is not a foolish God. Meaning he's still just, he's still a sovereign ruler, and he is still holy. And he said, return now, everyone from your evil way. This isn't mean. I'll tell you what this is. This is truth wrapped in a blanket of love. When he said in verse 11, return now everyone from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. He said, everybody turn from your evil way. This is not mean. This is not heartless. This is not cruel. This is God saying, I'm giving you the opportunity to let me put you back on the wheel and shape you as this potter has done. I'm allowing Jeremiah to see this, and I want you to see I can and I will restore you and make you useful in the hands of the potter. In essence, he's saying, you've royally messed up, but I'm giving you the opportunity to begin again. Allow me to put you back on the potter's wheel and shape you into who you're supposed to be. In fact, the psalmist said, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. That word delight in the Hebrew means to remain pliable in the hands of the Lord. That's what God's saying. If you remain pliable in the hands of the Lord, I'll give you the desires of your heart. That word pliable means easily bent and flexible. What that means is, God, you have full control of my life. Shape me, mold me into who you want. If you want to change my personality, change my personality. If you want to change my job, change my job. If you want to lead me the way that I'm not sure that I should go, but I'll trust you, I will go that way. Whatever you want for my life, he says, I want you to remain pliable. Because clay is good as long as it remains pliable in the hands of the potter. But listen, I want to focus on the people's response in verse 12. We didn't read this earlier, but you've heard everything that God said. Now listen what the people said in verse 12. And they said, that is hopeless. Listen to their words. So we will walk according to our own plans. And we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart. Now, you may think, there's no way I would ever say that. There's no way I would ever be so blatant as to say, that's hopeless. I'll just do whatever I want to do. You might not say it, but in your heart, we've all done it. Yeah. We've been given the opportunity to allow the master craftsman, the potter, to mold us and to shape us and fashion us, and still we decide, nope, I want to do it my way. I'd rather stay marred than be useful. I'd rather be hurt than be a tool in the hand of the Lord. And because, listen, there is no middle ground with God. He's either Lord of all or not at all. And so you may say, well, I'm not really over there in that crowd saying I'm going to do whatever I want to do. But if you're not fully submitted to allow him to shape and mold you into whoever he wants you to be, then guess where you are? You're over here with this crowd. And you might not say it out loud because you know enough about the Bible and you've grown up in around Christianity and you know enough to say, not say I'm going to do whatever I want to do, but you will live that way. And you'll just do what you won't submit to allowing him to circumcise your heart and bring changes. And so while you may not blatantly say such a thing out loud, while man is looking at the outward appearance, God's looking at the heart. Because you can say, mold me, shape me, fashion me. But on the inside, you're saying, no, not that part. No, I don't want to get rid of that because I like that. That's not something that I'm willing to lay down. It's not something that I'm willing to change. So what you say on the outside, while yes, it does matter, what ultimately matters to God is man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Everybody else might see you in the altar with hands raised saying, Lord, make me, shape me, mold me, fashion me. And God's looking on the inside. All he sees is somebody saying, I ain't doing that. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to submit. You can't put me back on the wheel. You're not going to change that because I like that about me. But what he's looking for is a heart that would remain pliable and moldable in his hands. Because listen, as long as you will do that, he will begin again. It doesn't matter how marred your heart is. It doesn't matter how far you've gotten off course, how long you've been lost, how many times you have been, you know, you've chosen your own way. If you will come back to him, just like that father with a prodigal son, he will say, I'll allow you to begin again. Because I'm a gracious and a merciful and a compassionate God. Would you stand to your feet with me today? Could you play some ministry music there from the back, please? Because what I want to do is I want to offer you the opportunity to come and allow the Lord to minister to your heart. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I'm not even going to come lay hands on you and pray for you. This is between you and God. If you're at a place where you say, there are marred areas of my heart, and I want to say, Lord, put me back on the potter's wheel, you can just come find a place right now on the altar and just get alone with God. And just begin to confess, just begin to repent, just begin to ask him, Lord, put me back on the wheel. I believe that he wants to heal some hearts today. Make me a vessel. And make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Sing it again. Make me. Make me a vessel. And make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Come on, I know that there's more that need to respond today. Listen, let me tell you, you're not responding to me. This isn't about me getting a response from what I'm talking about today. I believe that this is an invitation from the Lord saying, do you want to begin again? Do you want a fresh start? Do you want the marred things removed from your life? Do you want me to circumcise the things that are hindering you and harming you and holding you back? And do you want me to give you a fresh start and a new lease on life? Father, I pray that you would just mold us and shape us and fashion us in your hands. Thank you that you are a craftsman that is a chief potter. You know exactly what we need to be. And I thank you that when we mess up and we're marred, when we've made decisions or people have mistreated us or done things, that you don't dispose of us, but you make us again. You mold us and shape us and fashion us into who you've called us and created us to be. So, Father, we're just saying, have your way in our lives. Make us whatever you want us to be. Mold us, God. Change the areas of my life that are stony, that are hard, that are obstinate against you, Lord. Lord, if it's not pleasing to you, if it's not what you want, God, take it away. I don't want anything that you would look at me and you would not be pleased with, God. But I pray for the hard parts. I pray for the marred parts. I pray for the areas that are impure, that are unholy, that you would take them away and make us into the vessels and the instruments and the tools that you want to use for your glory and for your kingdom. Heal our hearts, God. Heal our hearts. Lord, I thank you for your grace and your compassion and your mercy. Even though there's been so many times that we failed you and we don't deserve to be forgiven again, but you still do it and you still love us anyways. Thank you that you love us in spite of our faults and you call us worthy by your grace and your mercy. I'm praying your grace over your people today. Thank you for allowing us to begin again. In Jesus' name, would you lift your hands and just receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you, and may you always know that you can begin again, that because God is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love, he will put you back on that potter's wheel and make you who he wants you to be. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you guys. Have a great, great afternoon. We hope to see you tonight. Starts at 6 p.m. We love you. Yeah, we're not tearing down today. Praise the Lord.